June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, oh man, Corey Majors and the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck we doing today?
I hope that 10 years from now, or maybe 5, that when Alec has hosted his own show somewhere nationally in America, that we'll be able to replay Why You Call Me Corey O'Man Majors.
Oh yeah,
because I feel like in like 5 or 10 years people are gonna be like, the hell is he talking? I just know that he's been saying that for the last 5 years. I have no clue what he's talking about. And one day we'll have to go back to the audio and relive that sometime. And you know what, at some point I think that's a good thing for all of us as we get to that point, you know.
Yeah.
Go back and relive the best moments. There it is.
I just want to talk about the story about how you needed to be even more enthusiastic.
More
even though
enthusiasm.
You felt like you're at your highest level of enthusiasm. They're like, nah, it could be better.
Yeah, I'd try harder. All right, then here you go.
A lot of people, going back to our conversation in the cross, wanted us to mention Shawn Michaels' theme song. I assume you want the one sung by Shawn Michaels and not the original sung by sensational Queen Sherry.
Can Shawn Michaels sing? Okay, all right.
But so it's not a very song? Catchy tune.
I think El Vagabundo should sing all the songs.
What a deep cut.
He's the one.
I don't know how many people have any idea who the hell that is, but I do. So thank you very much, Corey Majors.
Thank you.
All right. Are you guys doing okay after the storms? Alec, how did the Pride of Mansfield hold up?
Yeah, it was really loud. It was just like, it was all bark and no bite for me, luckily. It kept me up, though. Because I was trying to go to bed around like 11, and that's when it really started hitting us. And yeah, it just kept me up because the lightning was dancing all around my house.
Yeah.
But, and you know, I'm right next to a window, so I was kind of terrified because of that and the wind. But anytime lightning strikes, my whole room turns purple, you know, so because the window is facing right out to the street. So yeah, it's hard to sleep, but hey. We're A-okay. The car survived. I'm happy.
My first thought was, that's a cool setting for his lighting in his room. You know, that it turns purple when the lightning strikes, but that's just natural is what I'm learning here.
Well, I hope everybody out there is doing okay. And if you're not, you want to share your story. You just need somewhere to relax, have some fun for the day. Hopefully we can provide that as well.
Pull up a chair.
What happens then?
You sit down in it.
Take a load off.
And then take a load off.
Ah, okay.
On a Monday.
Go ahead and give me cut number one. Let's talk about them Texas Rangers.
He waits. Williams is pitching. Carter swings. It's a high fly ball to right field. Cole going back at the track of the wall. He looks up, and that one is out of here. Scuffling no more. Evan Carter with a two-run home run. And the Rangers strike first in the top of the second on Evan Carter's second home run of the year.
The Rangers win the series against the Nationals. Obviously, the last couple of days broke the four-game losing streak. Do you want to talk about the game in particular, or do you want to talk about the game before that?
Let's start with the game before it, Kevin.
Okay.
How are we doing? Are we doing okay in baseball again?
We're doing okay in baseball again, in part because of this man. Go ahead and give me cut number two, because what I want to know for y'all is DeGrom back to the Dominator.
Two outs, nobody on. 2-0 Rangers in the bottom of the seventh. The windup into Grom's pitch. Swing and a miss. He gets low on an elevated fastball.
All right. Jacob DeGrom has been doing really impressively.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. He has now allowed 2 or fewer runs in 10 straight starts. with an ERA of 1.81 in that run, which still wouldn't even be the best on the team, which just shows you.
Because Patrick Corbin was so dominant on
Actually,
Friday.
Patrick Corbin has been doing better than anticipated. And I don't know if it'll be today, maybe tomorrow. There's something we're going to have to look at a former Patrick Corbin team. Are the Rangers mirroring that team? But 7 innings pitched, 2 hits, 8 strikeouts, no walks. And if you look at the month-by-month splits once you got into, like, past his first start. Month of April, 3.21 ERA. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, all right. Month of May, 2.08 ERA. Holy crap. Well, here we go. The month of June, 0.69. Now, I realize he's only had 2 starts at that time, but 13 innings, 1 earned run for Jacob DeGrom. Are you seeing him turning back into the DeGrominator?
Oh my gosh, dude. Just, yeah, go back to when was the last time he gave up 3 runs?
Not this season. At the beginning of April.
April 11th.
Okay.
April 11th was the last time he gave up 3 earned runs. You did a good job, dude. I'm proud of you. Because that was the beginning of April. But yeah, since then, 1-2-0, 1-2-0, 2-2-1-0. Like, that's amazing.
Sounds like he just wasn't very good at coding for a second.
Because the twos. That's special to be able to have those kinds of outings that consistently go that many innings. But that's what you expect, right? Like, that's him. And that's what you paid for initially.
You're right.
And now you're finally, for the first time, seeing the benefit from it.
Can I tell you, you're right about all the things you said. But I guess this was not what I expected.
You signed him?
Yeah. No, when I signed him, yes.
Okay.
But when it immediately got off to, uh-oh, there were some injury concerns. I was like, well, we gave it a shot. We got who everybody thinks is the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, think about this. He's already started more games this year than he had in the previous 2 years combined.
Yes.
And so, like,
no, when we got him, the first thing we thought was, when he's healthy,
yeah.
That was the thing.
Yeah.
When he's healthy,
yeah.
He's the most dominant. And we understood there's probably going to be some time where he's not healthy. And then he wasn't. And like you said, for first 2 seasons of it, we didn't see the benefit at all.
And I think, unfortunately, I came into this season, just like everybody else, like hoping for the best, but deep down being like,
it might not happen.
Yeah.
And we might not ever see it again. That was my biggest concern.
That's fair.
We might not ever see it again. But right now, and this is the thing, this is, y'all ever get into a relationship and you just don't want to fully commit to it because you know, like, you know what that person is.
Oh.
You know what they are. You just don't believe it's too good to be true. And so you're kind of just treating it as, yeah, it's part of life. That's how I am with DeGrom. I'm not, this season, I will not be like, oh my gosh, because I'm always going to be like something. But I will enjoy it while it lasts.
Because you don't want to be the person that's like, they'll change for me.
Right, exactly. Like, he's not going to change for me.
Yeah, what we have is different. Maybe for a while. But then eventually it'll go back to, oh yeah.
Yeah.
This is what
he's special.
Was afraid was going to happen.
He's
to begin
the special
with.
One. Yeah. He's the best looking girl. She's really cool. She likes sports. She's good at talking sports, but also gives you your space to be around the guys.
All right.
That's him.
Corey, then I got to make an admission to you.
But then
I'm starting to think Jacob DeGrom's going to change for me. I'm starting to think that he's going to go back to the way he was when things were good.
Oh, the talent will be there. I have to protect myself from whenever you hear elbow soreness or, you know, forearm. That's the thing that I'm protecting my own heart.
Yeah.
But like I said, every time he steps on the mound, I got to enjoy it. And I have so far, man. It's been like watching a technician magician at the same time. You know, somebody who's just really good at what they do, but also tricks you with their pitches.
I want to see what you think is more impressive. This Bochy quote or this Bochy action. Let's go to the quote first. He's talking about Jacob DeGrom. I don't get tired of watching him. I'm a fan. I love watching him and what he can do with not just the stuff, but the command, the pitchability. It's a rare deal, and that's why his numbers are what they are for his career. All right, so that's option one. What's more impressive, that quote or
Think about how many pitchers he's seen
pitch. Oh my gosh. It's freaking amazing. Let's go to cut number four. Or is it Bruce Bochy at the front of the dugout still showing he's got them hot hand-eye coordination skills with this foul ball?
Bochy making a play in the dugout. Whoa, horse. Wow.
With the throwing hand.
With the throwing hand, too.
Did you see that play, and were you more impressed by him snagging the foul ball or what he said about Jacob DeGrom?
Probably the foul ball thing. He's still got the hands, all right? We don't want to ask him to get down in the catcher's position and try and knock that one in the dirt, right? Like that. Yeah. But the hands are there. The hands are giant, too, right? Did you notice how big that thing looked? Can you imagine if he shook Sean Cherie's hand? And they had that moment, his hand would get lost in Boch's hand. But yeah, it was, that would hurt you, right? You're probably going, that's going to hurt me.
Yes.
But you watched him, he watched it all the way into his paw. Just bam, with that big old mitt, and then just toss it aside like it was nothing.
I go to Robert Hassel, the outfielder from the Nationals, and he goes, hey, I think we had a good plan against him, DeGrom, that is, to stay on the fastball. But then he said this, I think we were all prepared, but he got us today, and he was hitting his spots. That's what he does.
Yeah. What's the old Cliff Lee line of everybody wants to ask me about how to throw a curveball and how I throw my changeup when they can't command their fastball?
Yeah.
Learn how to do that first, and then you can throw the other stuff. And a lot of days, that's what Mike Maddox is like, just go out there and do that first. And we'll develop our plan from there. But he's already got the plan in place. But if you can't command your fastball, that's it. And so when he starts hitting his spots like that and he's found his groove, I'm still amazed. And Mike and I discussed this too. I'm still amazed at how tall of a pitcher as he is and how long he is, how well he works down at the bottom of the strike zone. And what did Boch call it? The third string. He works that one so well down there. And I'm just amazed at how well he does that. Once he's able to do that, hitters are just like, it's just too difficult because it looks like a ball because it's low, and then it's right there on the black, and umpires are giving it to him because it's there. It's good.
Now, assuming it's not against Colorado where you needed to sweep, are you still impressed when you come away from any particular series with a win? Because obviously you're coming off a Tampa Bay series where you got swept. You won the series against St. Louis, but that's what I always think of when it comes to having a march to a respectable record. Like, if you told me you could sweep Minnesota, Chicago, Kansas City, that'd be great. But if you also told me you come out...
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or mensteaclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Out winning every single one of those series. I know it takes longer to get there, but that feels like a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I feel like they are heading in that right direction right now. And then I look at the standings, and again, like you said, we're right there, kind of still close enough.
Yeah,
not too far away.
This division sucks.
Within striking distance, because as you said, the division stinks, and it makes me think, Kevin, this is where I get in trouble. And if I was Chris Young, I would get in trouble. And I think Chris Young will probably be like, you know what? It's not trouble, man. That's just trying to build a winner. Now I'm sitting there looking at it going, we're in striking distance. We could win this division. All I need to do is add a piece. All I need to do is add a spark to this batting lineup. And so that's me, Kevin, where I'm just like, go make some moves. Go. I believe this team can actually go do it. I think they do. I think they have enough. The pitching is good enough that if you can add some bats to this thing, you might have another World Series contender.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I wanted to throw this out there. Hopefully not too many people were affected from the negatively affected from the 469. Power was out for us in Anna for like an hour and a half. And obviously I want to know more of those stories. Hopefully we can help you. I know everybody likes to say, take a load off and enjoy your day. Our power went out for like maybe 45 seconds and some of the thunder woke up Noah. But I mean, other than like higher than normal winds and heavy rain, we weren't really particularly negatively impacted. So I hope our folks listening are doing okay out
there.
Carter
came in saying there's going to be 100 mile an hour winds. And I was like, I mean, that is concerning. And
yeah.
So that did kind of, when I heard the wind, and we have a wind chime right outside of our window.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't help. I should have told him to bring that sucker in.
Coming up next, it's the end of the NCAA as we know it. And I feel fine. Next right here on The Fan.
Ground ball, backhanded by Good, over to first. And you can light up the UT Tower burnt orange. Texas is finally bringing the championship home to Austin.
Now, this segment is going to be a lot about the end of the NCAA as we know it, but...
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
Now I feel fine.
I gotcha.
6 o'clock TV hour. I can't probably...
He doesn't even know the words.
He doesn't.
Remember,
right.
They gave him a sheet on the Unplugged because he was like, I don't remember the words.
Yeah.
They gave him the... And there's one part where he evidently on the part where he goes, right? And they go, right. Where he was like, he was literally asking, was that right? Was that the right lyrics?
And they thought they were being clever and be like, right.
Right.
And he goes, no, you jackass.
No, I really didn't know.
So we'll get to that in a second. But I have to admit, more than in the history of my life, I was locked into a college softball game on Friday night.
Really?
As Texas Tech... Well, their pitcher, she had just reached her capacity. Unfortunately, she got run out of the game. Texas dominated. They win the game, win the series, win the College World Series. Did you guys partake in any of this game? I know Friday night, obviously, it can be more difficult.
This was tough.
Okay.
This was tough for me because I kind of had some family obligations to take care of as we were getting prepared for Lucy's birthday on Saturday.
Okay.
But I did go see some highlights of it all, and it did look like Texas just was like, all right, we got this.
It felt like it was over after the first two innings.
Yeah, very comfortable. But for the most part, the rest of the World Series I was keeping track of. Because it was exciting. There were some very talented players in this this softball college World Series.
So congratulations to the University of Texas to win the College World Series for softball. And then we've got the College World Series coming up for baseball. I believe at the end of the week is when it starts. Only one more bid up for grabs. But another huge story in the NCAA this weekend was what kind of feels like the end of the NCAA.
Which you've been calling for years.
For sure.
And then as I think it was once the, look at them on MLB Network showing DeGrom. And it's Leiter. Al Leiter. He's going through Jacob DeGrom's pitching motion. He's like, hey, I just listened to KNC. Now it's time to talk about Jake DeGrom. But yeah, Kevin.
You'll know they're really copying us if their next segment is about the fall of the NCAA. Then I'll be like, hold on a minute.
It was the moment when OU's players got busted for eating too much pasta and had to pay 89 cents back. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yes.
This is the most ridiculous. And that's when I really started paying attention to how stupid the NCAA is in their own favor.
Oh, for sure. And the way they were like, hey, we do everything to protect the student athletes. And I was like,
horse hockey.
So you didn't expand the NCAA tournament at all to get that $13 billion TV deal?
Exactly.
Like, no, everything we do is for the student athlete. Okay, so you expanded playoff in the college football. Don't worry about that. So the House versus the NCAA settlement was officially ratified on Friday. And I know you might be like, I don't want to read all of the legal mumbo jumbo. Cut to it. No problem. Is expected to formally take effect on July 1st. So only a few weeks away. Starting.
That's my birthday.
That's why they did it like that.
I think they did too.
They didn't say that also, in the documents, but I felt it.
Usually NFL free agency starts around then, and then like the NBA has something going on there too. So I think usually what they're doing is trying to hide it. You know, they're like, hey, let's just cover it up.
Well, let's get through some of the boring stuff, but check it out. Starting in 2025, colleges will start revenue sharing with athletes. Athletic departments will be allowed to use their own funds to pay players. And it's expected that the salary cap for this, although they're really trying not to call it a salary cap yet, but essentially the salary cap for this is $20 million. And that's to cover all athlete compensation, not just those in sports that generate revenue.
Call it the pay roof.
Okay.
You got the pay wall. Why not the pay roof?
All right.
Or the pay ceiling.
So the pay, which do you prefer? Because I know the roof is the ceiling. Or the ceiling is a roof?
Pay roof sounds like a town in a, like somewhere else.
Okay.
We went to pay roof this
so
week.
So based on that, the pay ceiling for this is expected to be about $20 million a year. Because that's probably all that these schools make off of athletics. And again, that it's makes, all about the student athlete. Okay, it's actually only 22% of all the profits that they generate across the athletic departments. But don't worry about that.
Hold on, actually, let's think about this for a second. 22% is a significant number.
That's true.
Like
better than zero.
If and I know you're being sarcastic about the it's all about the student athletes, yes, except for the 88% or whatever 78% that we got left over. Thank you. But that is a pretty significant amount. Do you think that they went through the budgets and said, this is all we actually can share?
So this is just a starting point. The thought is in the next decade, it could raise from about $20.5 million to $33 million.
Okay.
All right. And then there is some belief that that can push schools either in the next decade or after that to about 50% of athletic revenue. In a lot of the departments, which is what you see in like some other sports where, and you're
so this is the college's funds that they can
correct.
Spend. Can you still get an NIL deal?
Now, what a great question. We'll get to that in just one second.
Okay.
They have created to enforce this. They have created the College Sports Commission, the CSC, which will hire a CEO soon. All right. And I believe the CEO, I think that that's what came out on Friday. And I think they've already picked up one of the executives from baseball. Brian Seely has been hired away from baseball and he's going to be the CEO. And so his job is described as building out the organization's investigative enforcement teams and oversee all that's going on, because this is going to create a brand new set of problems that were very much like the old problems.
Gotcha.
Right. So in the old days, you weren't allowed to give college athletes money or gifts or anything like that. And obviously, because of that, nobody ever did it, especially not Texas A&M. But they did. And you'd have thought we would have won more with how much money we were giving away. You'd have thought we would have won more. But so it's going to start all over and they're going to be like, hey, you can't essentially circumvent the salary ceiling.
Well, and Kevin, the reason A&M didn't win more is because you start with the, hey, here's the $35,000. 35 more whenever the season's done and you've broken records. Y'all just gave them 70,000 up front.
Sure.
You know, that was where you messed up.
It is basic, you know, it's basic black market dealing. You get half up front, half when the job is done.
And don't try and call the cops.
Yeah, if you've ever seen a movie or a TV show, that's basically how it goes. Now, somebody brought this up. My understanding is that that's what the university can pay, but private parties can still pay more or they can get additional funds representing a business. True.
Okay.
But what the CSC is supposedly going to do, and you could tell me how effective you think this is going to be, is they are going to determine if these are legitimate business representative deals.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is
I think this is important.
And you've seen a couple of different schools, remember? And like some different companies were like, hey, every offensive lineman you get in, we're going to give $35,000. Like we've seen that locally, we've seen that nationally, and you've seen different variations like that. But starting this summer, any endorsement deal between a booster and an athlete will have to be vetted through the CSC to make sure it is, quote, for a valid business purpose.
I agree with this. I agree that you should make sure that these businesses that say they're going to pay actually do. Like I think that's an important thing. Can you actually afford this?
Yeah.
Are there other underlying things here? Yes. I think on the surface it is. We've seen a couple situations where somebody was told they'd be paid, they did not get paid, and now we have problems. How do we solve that?
I think my interest or my concern, and I want to go further into this with you guys, is like, let's say SMU or Texas Tech, they were getting a furniture store to give $35,000 to every, you know, offensive lineman that came in, even if they're going to be a backup. Hey, that's great. And I'm super stoked for those kids. But
they had to couch the situation.
Okay, I see what you're doing. That is very nice. Are they going to be able to back that up? Are you going to be able to show me, like, how does that backup offensive lineman who never plays, how does that actually bring the value versus, like, Cooper Flagg? I could see how you endorse whatever product and they're like, hey, he might be the most recognizable person out there. That's why we're giving him all the money. And they're like, no problem.
Yeah. You brought this up the other day. I can't remember exactly who it was. Somebody did something though. And we were like, Dan, that's gotta be a lot of advertising money right there. This is genius.
Yeah.
That's gotta be a lot of advertising. Yes. And when it comes to this, if you're a business that maybe doesn't have that money, you're like, look, I'm going to be around for years. This is part of my marketing fund. I wonder how that, like, no, I'm going to make money off this. Do they look at it that way? I'm going to make, this is marketing for me just as much as it is that. I feel like they do because I'm going to use Arch Manning as a way to sell boats at Lake Travis. You know, and like if somebody's like, man, I'm going to sell 1,000 boats this year.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's part of their funding and they're looking at it. Maybe I don't have the money now as a donor, but it's going to come as business goes along. This process of applying for these things is going to be arduous for a lot of people,
yeah.
But at the same time, worth it for their businesses, I think.
Do you think it's going to go back to the point where, and y'all can correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think this is what maybe the courts thought would happen 4 years ago when they first ruled that you could start getting NIL money. I think they thought, mistakenly so, obviously, that this was all going to be like only for the best athletes, like the most select, elite, high-level athletes. And then boosters obviously got involved and they're like, okay, well, we can manipulate this for the depth of our team and everything like that. I do kind of wonder.
How many years has it been?
It's been 4 years.
Since this all kind of started?
Yep.
Wow.
Since the court ruling that like paved the way for this. And now you get another court ruling that kind of changes the entire dynamic because now the schools will literally be paying some of the athletes. But I'm curious if this will push the tide back in favor of, well, we got to get this kid and he wants $9 million and our whole budget is $20.5 million. So that's a lot of other kids are going to lose some of the money that they had been getting.
Just saw that happen with Tennessee before this ruling, right?
Right.
Hey, look, our budget is this and he wants to double the deal that he had. We're not paying that. Negotiations. Now, this is another thing, Kevin, is every university equipped with a negotiator for these kinds of deals. And like this opens up a lot of other jobs, obviously, because think about that. The NFL, the NHL, the NBA, they have people on every single staff that are responsible for negotiating contracts.
Yeah.
And so do you have multiple people to do this for every university out there that wants to be involved? And do they have the same kinds of... It's not like all those budgets are flat for everybody. This isn't a flat budget for everybody. Okay. There is a ceiling, but not flat.
I'm really glad that you said that because just because the cap is set at 20.5 doesn't mean people are going to be paying that amount of money. Here's the other thing. I was reading a bunch of articles about this over the weekend and a lot of people seem to think about 70% or $15 million of this is going to go to football at power conference schools. But do you think this will widen the divide at some schools? Let's say maybe you're Kentucky, UConn, maybe even Duke or whatever. And you're like, hey, while Alabama is pushing all of their money and they've been a very good basketball school as of late, while they're pushing all of their money to football, why don't we push all of our money to basketball? And I win this recruiting war and this one and this one and this one. And I wonder if that will kind of like change some schools, Alec, from, hey, we were mostly a basketball school, but now we're going to become like an all the way basketball school, you know?
All the way.
I feel like that has to be a plan of action for some schools, right? Because there are going to be, no matter what money's involved, there are going to be the true blue bloods that have the legacy. You know, they're going to have the rapport and they're going to have the pitching in terms of recruiting just to say, hey, like for Alabama, they can just say, hey, we're Alabama. You know, we got money, but we're Alabama. So they're going to be able to go head to head with anybody because they have that championship pedigree. Other schools might just say, hey, you know, it feels like college basketball is one of the most unpredictable sports in the collegiate level. So they say, hey, if we just go ahead and dump all of our assets here, we have a real chance in football. We could have five-star recruits everywhere and still get bounced in our first playoff game because this team is just better coached than us. Basketball, baseball even, you could say, hey, we've got a real chance to be an upset here.
And I do kind of wonder if like all of this is going to get us back to where we were to begin with. We're now like 20 million per school up to, or 20.5, will go to these different players. But the same recruiting tactics that pretty much have always been in place will just be back in place. And you're like, oh, the CSC is now investigating blah, blah, blah. And you're like, no, I swear he helped us sell, you know, 16,000 wind chimes. It was a really, it was a boon for our business. And like, I wonder if we're taking all this time just to get right back to where we started and just taking some more money out of the schools and the NCAA's pockets along the way. By the way, the lost in all of this, unless you're one of the athletes and then you probably care a lot, the settlement that sets up all this new stuff, that they're also going to have to pay $2.8 billion as part of this settlement for trying to stop people from being able to cash in on their name and likeness for so long.
Yeah, man, that's... I think going down the next lane of that is, how much did the schools and the education part of it benefit prior? And
sure,
is this taking a chunk from them now? Like, were you able to build better labs and right, better facilities right, because you had this? Or did you just line the AD's pockets more and some of those people, and the school never really benefited from it?
See, that's a great question, because there are multiple studies out there in the world that show when your college athletics are doing better, that like, and especially if you're at an elite level, the applications to your school will explode.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Why do the Pirates hate Paul Skeens? Next on The Fan.
1-1 game, 0-2 pitch. Strike three call on an inside fastball.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Kepler caught looking, and now Skeens has struck out three of the last four.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we talked a lot about wrestling in the break.
I learned what gorilla is.
Yes!
And iguanas.
And are you excited about Mr. Iguana? 877-881-1053. Those questions, and probably hopefully others, we will be asking. And don't forget, everything that you do, I want you to do it to be available in the noon o'clock hour when we will give away tickets to go see Bryan Adams at the American Airlines Center.
School?
Not your high right, school,
to go
the
see
Sear.
My high school at American Airlines Center?
I mean, maybe. I think for legal purposes, I'm probably supposed to say no.
Okay.
But right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Corey, let me ask you this.
Did Mike text us and say he misses us over the weekend? Absolutely.
Oh.
Yes, the answer is yes.
I was not going to share that.
Oh, I will.
Paul Skeens, this month, which is only two starts.
Yeah.
15 and two-thirds innings pitched, two walks, 15 strikeouts. He's given up one earned run. That's an ERA of 0.57.
All right.
He's 0-1. So why did the
How many starts?
Two.
All right.
Why do the Pirates hate Paul Skeens? By the way, in the month of May, he had six starts with a 1.91 ERA. He went 1-3. So the question remains, why did the Pirates hate Paul Skeens?
I don't think they hate him. I just think that they're not a good baseball team. And so they're kind of doing what the Rangers have been doing to most of their pitching staff this year, where they're just like, hey, we know that you went out there and gave us most innings where nothing happened, but we can't score runs.
So the Paul Skeens routine, if it was like that Tom Cruise, I want to say Emily Blunt movie maybe, where he does the same thing over and over. Clearly, they just ripped it off from Groundhog Day.
Didn't that thing have a different name?
Yes.
And it changed the name. Day After Tomorrow?
That's Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow. But then they changed it because they didn't do great at the box office. Pitch deep into a game, allow a single run, if that, walk away without a win. Paul Skeens for the season has a robust 1.88 ERA. His whip is 0.84, which is insane. He's 4-6.
That is, it's very Mike Troutian, right?
Don't shake your head, Alec. I like the way he said that.
Where you're really, really good, and the rest of the team just is not. And so you're not going to be in the... Now, they're worse than the Angels have been his entire career. Like, they are worse right now than the Angels were most of the time. But this is bad, dude. He got drafted by a bad team that was... That's still taking time to grow. I think that, they're... Years away still, maybe 3 years away, but they still have a lot of work to do to build that team up.
From the 817, he won yesterday with 4 exclamation points.
He's really
He
good.
Did not. The Pirates eventually won the game when they decided to score a run in the bottom of the 8th. But remember, in the top of the 8th, Paul Skeens did not complete that inning. He only got 2 of those outs. So they brought in Ashcraft. And he got the win. So Paul Skeens, in fact, did not get the win. From the 972, sounds like he'd be a perfect fit with the Rangers. That's a great point.
His strikeout per 9 is down this year.
Oh, what is it at?
It was 11.5 last year.
Uh-huh.
9.1 this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that is a pretty good of a
You thought I was...
Down.
You were like, oh, no, it's down by 0.1. No, this is actually...
You could see how I would think this was the classic Corey setup of 11.5. To 11-4.
Yeah, he had 23 games last year in 133 innings and 170 strikeouts. Now, obviously this year, longer, you feel like he's pitching longer, and he's probably, he's probably gotten to the point now where everybody's like, oh, we've seen him. And so it's going to be a little bit different than it was, obviously, when in college, whenever we watched that.
Now, let's go from that to Roman Anthony. We had talked about him being the top prospect, perhaps in all of baseball, certainly for the Red Sox. Did you see that he hit the longest home run in any level of professional baseball this season over the weekend for Triple A Worcester? Don't love the way I said that.
Worcester.
Worcestershire. I'm sorry. I should have said it in my Boston accent. Worcester. So he hit it 497 feet. That surpasses Mike Trout, who previously had the longest home run of the season, but longest home run of any baseball player at any level of professional baseball this year, 497 feet.
This is the dude that had to hide in the laundry basket to be like moved in and out of the stadium because
that's
of
right.
autograph seeking.
Yes, that's right.
This guy's that good, huh?
He is very, very good.
Man, and the Red Sox have him. And now they're stinking this year so they can get another one of these kind of guys.
It's funny that you say that. I think their record is almost identical to the Rangers, maybe
but
half a
game
better.
They were expected to be the top contenders, Kevin. With expectations and the way you're doing, Rangers were expected to be top contenders too. So, yeah, we're all stinking right now.
Corbin Burnes, we talked about this last week, how it did not look like it was moving in the right trajectory. He is, in fact, going to have Tommy John surgery. So you look at it just where we are in the season, and you can't help but wonder. Obviously, he'll be out the rest of this year, but does that mean he's going to miss the vast majority, if not all, of the 2026 season as well? Let's go from that to Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso hit 2 home runs to pass David Wright for 2nd most home runs in Mets history. Which player do you think has the most home runs in Mets history?
You said he passed David.
David Wright was 2nd.
Strawberry?
Daryl Strawberry.
It was him or Gary Carter.
Is next up on the list. Daryl Strawberry has 9 more home runs than Pete Alonso.
What?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. And so he can do it.
And he did so in 1,100 games, where Pete Alonso has only played 900 games so far and change for the Mets. But he did also surpass Daryl Strawberry's record of most multi-home run games for the Mets. So Pete Alonso's got that record. In a matter of time, he will have the most home runs for the Mets record.
I was close on Gary Carter. He's 23rd.
Is that close?
2 and 3 together. So, yeah, that would be 1, 2, and 3. But Piazza was 4. Howard Johnson.
I'm going to say that if we ever hit a rating skid, I'm going to be like, yeah, we're 2-3.
Yeah, 23rds, 2-3. Yeah, so there you go. Dave Kingman, number 6. Carlos Beltran, 7. We're going through
I don't need the entire list. But
yeah, but Strawberry's like, he's the first person I think of when I think of a hitter for the Mets.
Sure.
So, and now Pete Alonso also because of the home run derbies that he's won. And wasn't it this offseason that everybody was like, you don't want Pete Alonso back? And then, but he was crushing during the playoffs last year, and they're like, maybe we should bring him back, and he's been pretty good this year.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, you can go back to it. He has been very good this year. I would not have pegged Pete Alonso for saying I got a 300 batting average, but yet here we are. All right, let's go from that to, you know what, if we're talking about hitting, you brought this up last week. We didn't get a chance to bring it up. How many games does it take for you to care about a hitting streak?
Ooh, I like this.
So you go back to Joe DiMaggio. He's got the record with 56 home runs. Excuse me, 56. Wow. That's not a record. Even
Barry Bonds.
Even if I said that right, that's still not a record. He has had a hit, at least one hit, in 56 straight games.
Yes.
I think it was Pete Rose who got to 41, 42, and people took note of that. To me, I think it's 30.
Okay.
I know some people, like I saw some people in the CBS article who were like 29. I can't do that, so I need to say 30.
I think it's actually 40.
Okay.
Because, dude, how, all right, what team does he play for again? Who's on that? Who was on that role recently? It was a team that I'm not paying attention to.
Okay.
All right, and so to get me interested in watching something that's going on in the country, it's going to be, I'm only going to be able to be on that ride for about 14 days, maybe about a month.
Wow.
I can't be on that ride the entire time. Now, okay. if it's a Rangers player, hit me after 10. I'm locked in after 10.
Okay, I got
you. But somewhere else around the country, I'm going 40 games is actually the right amount of number because Kevin, dude, how often do we get to the pressure point of, oh man, it's been 25 games in a row. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did DiMaggio have the amount of press that we have following that at like game 15? You know, that's what I don't know was when did they start really dialing in on that? And did it really wear on him the way Lou Gehrig, you remember the home run chase wore on him that whole season? And so I don't know if this, when the pressure really starts to mount for these guys, or if DiMaggio just went out there and was like, I don't know, I have no clue when the last time I didn't get a hit was.
See, at the time, I bet probably not, and people were more like engaged with some of his, with like Marilyn Monroe talk or whatever, besides the hit streak and everything. But then again, I always wonder if people who thought back then was a lot of media would be overwhelmed by how much media does or does not pay attention right now and how national everything is.
Do you think that back then it was more baseball coverage, was more interest back then? Because
Baseball was the sport. Like, I still remember, I've mentioned this a couple times. I go back to, it was like 1910, New York Times. They had something at the top of the paper that said, please do not call into the newsroom to get the World Series updates as our reporters are like, trying to go out and report stuff. And I was like, wow, that is so important. They're like, I'm going to put this in the top of the page. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
Next.
We're going to try to accomplish a lot in this segment. What is the hardest sport to ref? Plus the NBA Finals, plus the French Open. We got a lot of ground to cover next on The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.